We're on the final run of our series on people in prayer, and the last person who was both God and man is Jesus. And we're going to look at just two prayers in his life, just two prayers in the life of Jesus. Just to briefly say, though, what is prayer? Well, I loved Ken's definition last week. If you remember, he said, talking with God. That's a very important thing to remember. I knew of a lady who tried to pray. She tried all these various things, and the Lord seemed to whisper into her heart, just talk to me. Just talk to me. Prayer is opening a door to let God into your life. It's opening a door to let him in. But I want to leave this with you before we look at Jesus' prayer. This is something that's really helped me understand prayer. Prayer is also, in my mind, like laying a railway track. Okay, now, before you think I've gone mad, a train is very, very powerful, is it not? But it needs railway tracks to run along, and God has ordained it. God has chosen to do things when human beings pray. And sometimes he doesn't do it when we don't. Now, not everything depends on our prayers, of course, otherwise the world would spin out of control. But God has ordained that human beings lay the railway track for his powerful train to come thundering down. That's why I love it when people pray. I love it when we have church prayer meetings, and I love the thing you're going to do on the 15th of April. It's like you're laying the railway tracks to allow the Lord to come through with his mighty express train. So I want you to think of that when you pray, but you're laying railway tracks for God to move. So two prayers in the life of Jesus. The first one is before the cross in Gethsemane. I've put just the bits I'm going to focus on. I'm not going to talk about the whole passage today for the sake of time. This is Jesus before he's facing the cross. It says he fell with his face to the ground in verse 39 and prayed, "My Father, if it is possible, may this cup be taken from me. Yet not as I will, but as you will." Verse 42, he went away a second time and prayed, "My Father, if it is not possible for this cup to be taken away unless I drink it, may your will be done." And then we read in verse 44, he prayed the third time, saying the same thing. Now, the cup is an Old Testament image of God's judgment. In the Old Testament, when God was going to judge a nation, there was this image of a cup slowly filling up with his anger. And then there'll come a point where it's brimming over and then the cup is poured out. And what Jesus is saying, he's saying, I am going to take upon myself all the stored up anger against sin in the whole world across every human being. I am going to take the massed sin of all humanity upon myself on that cross, and I'm going to drink it to its dregs and destroy it and take away the judgment that we all deserve. But Jesus said, I'll take the cup. But do you notice the struggle he has? Why did Jesus struggle with God's will here? I don't know all the reasons, but I'll tell you one big reason. I don't think it was so much the fear of the pain of the cross. I mean, the cross was an awful thing. I think the bigger fear for him was that he was going to be cut off and God forsaken by his Father. Now you imagine it, Jesus, God the Son, never been out of touch with God his Father in all eternity, and for the first time, a blackness is going to come upon him that he has never known, a separation. He is truly going to be God forsaken on the cross. And if any of you in your life say, God's forsaken me, God's left me, well, can I tell you, it's not true, because I'll tell you why. Because God did forsake someone else, and his name was Jesus. God's word to you is, I will never leave you, I will never forsake you. So that's what he was afraid of. I don't think it was so much afraid of the cross itself, although that was an awful thing. We will never go through that. Jesus is the Saviour. We will never face what he faced. But I feel that this is recorded not just to give us information about what Jesus went through. It's also recorded because there will be times in our lives when you and I face a difficult choice Do I go God's way, God's will, or do I choose mine? There will be times when there's a cross in the road and you've got to make a choice, God's will or mine. Let me show you a picture of a boat going into a storm. You know, sometimes as you go into something that you feel the Lord maybe is leading you down, a path that maybe you don't like, it's like you've got to set your course, the boat, into that storm. And that storm is all the things that are screaming at you saying, don't go this way. I used to do sailing, believe it or not, Simon the Sailor. With my dad, we used to have a sailing boat, and I used to sometimes steer the thing. And sometimes you had to make sure you kept the tiller pointing in a certain direction, even though the waves are coming at you and it's choppy, and everything in you is saying, let's just turn back. But have you noticed how Jesus prayed the same thing three times? It wasn't just once. He said, Lord, I'll do your will. No, he struggled. He said, Lord, take this cup from me, but if not, your will be done. And then he came back again. Lord, if it's not possible, I'll drink it, but otherwise take it away. And again, and it's because the waves were hitting him. You see, he really didn't want to go through with it on the human level, but he knew he had to, because he wanted to save you and me. He loves you. Jesus did it for you, and he'd do it all again if he had to. But part of him didn't want to. And I just want to encourage you, there'll be times in your life when you will face decisions and it will be a cross. It will be a self-denial. I can think of four occasions in my life. I'm not going to go into all the gory details. Once God told me to lay something down that I was clinging on to. I didn't want to let go. Another occasion, I wanted to run away from a situation I was in. It lasted 3 years. But I knew God said, stay there. I wanted to get out of the boat and run, get away. But I had to wait God's time. Another time I was tempted. I was tempted very severely, and everything in me wanted something. I really, really wanted it. It went on for years. But I knew God's will was I don't have that thing. And it was always a case of, Lord, not my will, your will be done. Help me, help me. You see, yes, we're not the Saviour. None of us are the Saviour. But I think it's recorded because Jesus went before us. He trod the path that we will sometimes face lesser things like this. I mean, another occasion in my life, I had to face a very difficult situation and I just wanted to run away. I had to meet somebody. It was a very difficult situation. I didn't want to meet this person. But I knew I had to go through with it. I said, Lord, is there any way out of this? Is there any way around it? I'll do it, Lord, if that's really what you want, but I don't know if I can. Is this really what you want? Sometimes you've got to grimly hold on and say, Lord, your will be done. Now, we're following a book in this series. We're only using bits of it. We're not nicking all of it. By John White, called People in Prayer. And he writes, I wrote it down actually, he writes this. He says, don't let it dismay you that sometimes in the fiercest storms of life, the wind and the waves will continue to hit you long after you have said, not my will, but yours, O Lord. And eventually, though, the storm will die down. And I can tell you those four situations in my life, eventually I came out the other end in peace. Now, here's one other thing about this prayer. Did you notice Jesus' prayer wasn't answered in one sense? He said, Father, take this cup away from me. And there's an instance where God did not answer Jesus' prayer. So you've got somebody, the Holy Son of God, the one who walked close to God, who prayed with faith, and yet he didn't get what he asked for because God had a different choice and he surrendered. There's a verse in Hebrews that says this, Hebrews 5 verse 7. During his days on earth, Jesus offered up prayers and petitions with fervent cries and tears to the one who could save him from death. And it says, and he was heard. He was heard. God heard him. But the answer was no. God heard him, but the answer was no. He has trodden this road of struggle ahead of us. It wasn't easy for Christ to say three times, not my will, but yours. And there will be times in your life when you've got to go the way of the cross and say, I don't like this, Lord. I don't like this path. If it's your will, I'll take it. Please, please help me. And we know that Jesus' cross turned into something beautiful. I mean, none of us would be forgiven without it. And God can turn your difficulties around and use them. Let's look at the second prayer now. That's the first one. The second one is just one sentence. Jesus said on the cross, Father, forgive them, for they do not know what they do. And this was a prayer. Now, the words of any dying person are significant, but these are particularly significant because it's God the Son, hanging on a cross in our place. He's asking his Father to forgive his murderers. You know, Jesus said a lot about loving your enemies, blessing your persecutors, turning the other cheek. And these are the very first words he said upon the cross. Father, forgive them. They don't know what they're doing. That means to me that God thinks forgiveness is really, really important. If God can forgive those murdering him, and the first thing he says when they start to murder him is forgive them, how important do you think forgiveness is to God? Only Luke records this, the other writers don't, because Luke has a special fascination with forgiveness. If you read Gospel of Luke, I mean, we're studying it through the year. There's stories about Zacchaeus, a tax collector who finds forgiveness. There's stories about a prodigal son who gets forgiven by a father. There's stories about a woman who was a prostitute who wept at Jesus' feet and washed his feet with her tears. It's all about forgiveness. It's throughout Luke's Gospel. And this is the first thing that Christ says on the cross. Forgiveness is critical to God. And it's said in the context of a prayer. But you know, in today's society, how much is there about forgiveness? I don't think it's that much in the news, particularly. People don't feel they need it. There's not really an awareness of it. If you ask people, where do you go to get forgiveness? They might say, well, go to the church. Do you know what the percentage of the UK population is that goes to church? About 3%. Maybe 4 or 5 in London. But forgiveness is not really on the radar of many people. And the world tells you, if you forgive, you're weak. If you forgive, you sound weak. Surely you should just give them the cold shoulder. Surely you should hold them at arm's length. Teach them a lesson. Keep your distance. Look after number one. Forgiving people is weak. But Jesus forgave his murderers. The first thing he said when he hung on the cross. How important it is, forgiveness to God. I'm going to just say 3 quick things about this prayer. The first thing, he prayed to his Father to forgive them. He didn't just say, oh, I forgive them. He didn't say, oh, I forgive them. He said, Father, can you forgive them? And I think that is pretty challenging. I've never really done that. Have you? Someone's hurt you and you say, Father, will you forgive them? And I'll forgive them. Now you could say, well, Jesus was being the high priest. He was pleading for humanity. He was pleading on our behalf. That's why he prayed to the Father. And of course, we don't have to. Yeah, maybe. But I think there's a place, you see, sometimes when you can't forgive somebody and you find it so hard, if you pray for them, if you pray for that person, if you pray for that person that's hurt you, if you pray to the Father to forgive them, you will find that you can start to forgive them yourself. I've had somebody hurt me very badly in my life, for about 5 or 6 people, actually. And I could not forgive them. And I still struggle even today a little bit. But I tell you this, when I pray for them, and when I pray and say, Father, will you forgive them, and also help me forgive them, help me not to, when I pray for them, forgiveness comes. It's easier if they then phone me or text me. I don't just avoid it. Father, forgive them. He prayed for these people. Now, who was he praying for? I used to think it was just the Roman soldiers who were banging the nails in. Well, it doesn't actually say that. It just says them. Them. Well, who were they? Who was he forgiving in his prayer? Was it the religious Jews that got him condemned? Was it Pontius Pilate, who didn't really give Roman justice? He was a bit of a corrupt governor. Was it him that got Jesus was saying, forgive? Was it the crowd that shouted, crucify him, crucify him, crucify him? Was it the crazy crowd? Or was it the Romans who actually executed him and started taking his clothes and working out, oh, we can have his stuff? Was it them? Was it the people sneering at him, saying, come down from the cross if you're Jesus, if you're the Saviour, come down. Was it them? Maybe it was all of them. It was also for us, because it was for you and me as well. Because we put Jesus on the cross. Our sin caused Jesus to end up on the cross. Not just Romans and Jews and Pilate and these people. Our sin caused... We're part of the problem, you know. I'm part of the problem. I'm part of the reason why Jesus hung on a cross. In a way, we murdered Christ as well. By our sin. So Jesus wants us to receive forgiveness. But it's not just, it doesn't just stop there, you know. We're not just, oh great, Lord, you've forgiven me. Oh, that's wonderful. Jesus also wants us to dish out forgiveness and give forgiveness to other people. Because you see, the challenge of this prayer, let me just read it. The challenge of this prayer, Jesus doesn't just want us to receive forgiveness, but to dish it out. We are meant to be a forgiving people. And I don't know about you, but I struggle with that. We're meant to be a forgiving people. That's the challenge of this prayer. Do you ever pray in your prayers for so-and-so, Father, forgive them. Lord, help me, I can't. Bless them. Bless that person who's hurt me. Do you ever do that? Jesus said, pray for your enemies. Bless those who persecute you. In fact, Jesus said earlier in Luke, these words, chapter 6, he said, love your enemies, do good to those who hate you, bless those who curse you, pray for those who ill-treat you, forgive, and you will be forgiven. Here's something else. The Holy Spirit within us produces these fruits, according to Galatians chapter 5, verse 22. Love, joy, peace, patience, kindness, goodness, faithfulness, gentleness, and self-control. These are qualities that the Holy Spirit puts in us as Christians, and these are the ingredients that enable us to forgive. Forgiveness is a real possibility for the Christian, to forgive that person that devastated you. It's not easy. I'm not saying it's easy. But this is the challenge of that prayer of Jesus. Father, forgive them. Maybe you have to pray it a number of times. I know with some people I've had to pray it over and over again recently as I've been challenged by this. But as I pray for that person, as I pray for them, forgiveness comes. Okay, the second thing I want to say about this prayer, he prayed for those who weren't looking for forgiveness. You know, the crazy crowd, they weren't looking for forgiveness. The Roman soldiers, they weren't looking for forgiveness. Pontius Pilate, the corrupt governor, he wasn't looking for forgiveness. The Jews weren't looking for forgiveness. They weren't looking for forgiveness, and yet he gave it. I find that extremely challenging to have to do that. Forgive them, for they do not know what they are doing. It's not just ignorance. I mean, it could be ignorance. They didn't know. I mean, they didn't know the seriousness of what they were doing to him. They didn't know they were killing the Creator. They didn't know that. But some of them weren't that bothered. They didn't care. Have you met people like that who've hurt you and who don't care what they've done? My mum used to say to me, well, forgive them if they say sorry. What if they don't? Our calling is to forgive, even if they don't say sorry. My favourite Christian woman, apart from my wife, of course, is Corrie Ten Boom. She's a real hero to me, heroine. And if you know the story of Corrie Ten Boom, she was a Dutch Christian who hid Jewish people in World War II. She got caught and sent to Ravensbrück concentration camp with her sister Betsy. Whilst there, an SS guard beat her sister so severely that a few days later, her sister died from the beating. Corrie survived the war. God called her to go preaching and or sharing a testimony, things like that. And she went into a church, happened to be in Germany, and as she was preaching or sharing her testimony on forgiveness, who did she spot sitting in the congregation? The SS guard was sat there, smiling. And she had just been talking about forgiveness. And this guy walked up to her at the end of the service, stuck out his hand with a big smile, and said, "Isn't it wonderful, Fraulein, how God forgives our sins? I used to work in the concentration camps. Isn't it wonderful that I've been forgiven?" And she was like this. And you see, he didn't recognize her. She recognized him. "You're the one who killed my sister." And she prayed. She said, "Lord, help." She prayed for him. She prayed, "Lord, help." And eventually she was able to put her hand out and give him a hug and say, "Yes, you're forgiven, brother." I don't think she even told him that he was the one. But the point I want to make is this guy wasn't that sorry. He didn't come with all tears. He didn't look that bothered. I mean, he was obviously happy being forgiven, but he didn't look particularly sorry. But she felt she had to forgive someone who was grinning at her. Can I tell you a story? I once drove my car a bit too fast, and I was ignorant of a speed camera. And then I got sent something saying, "You got so many points on your license, or got to go on a speed course, you've got to pay £100. Now, what do you think would have happened if I'd written to the police and said, "Well, actually, I was a bit ignorant, sorry, I didn't know. Can you let me off?" What would they do? They would say, "Come on the course, give us £100. You pay the penalty." But you see, it seems to me that God is much more ready to forgive the ignorant or those that are not really sorry, or we are called to forgive them faster than, say, the police would if I got a speeding fine. I mean, in the Bible, it says this about Paul. In 1 Timothy chapter 1, verse 13, Paul says, "Even though I was once a blasphemer and a persecutor and a violent man, I was shown mercy because I acted in ignorance." Now, of course, we have to repent. But here's the question. Why can God treat people a bit differently than the English law courts? Why? The English law court will not forgive you for speeding. Doesn't matter how many boxes of chocolates you send them. They will not forgive you for speeding. You pay the penalty. Why is God able to forgive people who don't seem that sorry? I'll tell you why. Because he paid the penalty. When he's hanging on the cross, he's already paying the penalty for the Roman soldier who's killing him. In fact, one of the Roman soldiers at the end of the crucifixion said, "This man was the Son of God." God started to answer the prayer of Jesus. Jesus prayed, "Father, forgive them." And that prayer, he began to answer at the end of the crucifixion. A Roman soldier begins to wake up and go, "Lord, this is the Son of God." The thieves were mocking Jesus on the cross, and he's going, "Father, forgive them." And then one of the thieves get saved. Really fast, you know, God answers the prayer of forgiveness really fast. And God's forgiveness is rampant. You know, later on, chapter 2 of Acts, the day of Pentecost, 3,000 people get forgiven and filled with the Holy Spirit 6 weeks after the cross because Jesus had prayed, "Father, forgive them." Those same people, some of them had crucified the Lord or been in the crowd, they get forgiveness after Jesus prays, "Father, forgive them." You see, God's heart is to forgive. He prayed forgiveness for those doing the very worst crime of all. There's no worse crime than killing Jesus Christ. Jesus is the creator. He's the one who made you. He's the one who gave you life. And if you hate him and crucify him and reject him, you are rejecting the very creator of life. It's the worst, darkest crime in history. As he hangs on the cross, the worst crime is happening and he's still saying, "Forgive them." I find that so challenging, because if someone does something really horrible to me, really bad, God says, "I want you to forgive them, even if they're not that sorry. You leave them to me." But in your heart, And if you can't forgive them, which a lot of time we can't, you say, Lord, this is impossible to climb this path. I need your help. Will you forgive them, Father? Will you help me forgive them? He did it for the worst crime possible. I want to tell you about a friend of mine. I'm going to change his name because I don't want to put him online. He's a Welsh guy. I'm going to call him Rhys because that's a nice Welsh name. He got baptised. He was a friend of mine. He got baptised. And we got a baptism next week here. Please come if you want. We got a baptism. But my friend Rhys got baptised. But he had had something done to him which was terrible. But God had put in his heart to forgive the person that had done it. He had a friend. I'm going to invent the name again. I'm going to call the friend Dylan. That's another Welsh name. Dylan had murdered Rhys's mum. And Dylan was supposed to be his best friend. He'd gone round to his house once, robbed the house, and murdered his mother. And here was my friend Rhys. I met him a few years ago. Getting baptised, but he's feeling the Lord saying, you've got to forgive Dylan. He couldn't do it. He couldn't do it. It's impossible. But it was only as he prayed for him, as he prayed for Dylan, said, Father, forgive Dylan for what he's done. Lord, I can't do it. It's impossible. It's too painful. Help me. It's as he prayed, the kind of prayer of Jesus, Father, forgive them. He didn't really know. I mean, yeah, maybe he knew what he was doing, but he didn't know the gravity of it. And it was as he did that, my friend got baptized. And when he came up out of the water, it was a joyous time. And someone prayed for him and said, there's not even any smoke on you from the fire. There's no smoke, not even the smell of smoke from the fire that you've been through. You are clear with the Lord. And finally, research has revealed that forgiveness is good for the person who does the forgiving. You are the main beneficiary. If you don't forgive somebody, it controls you. It controls you. It's like a control on your life. It's like a foothold on your life. And that person will control you if you don't forgive them. The way to be set free from what people have done to us is to forgive them, like how Jesus forgave those who killed him on the cross. We need to follow his example in this prayer. Someone once said, carrying a grudge is like drinking poison and then waiting for the other person to drop dead. I know of a preacher called R.T. Kendall. I heard this somewhere. He was treated quite badly in one of his churches, apparently. And someone had hurt him. And someone said to him, you need to forgive them, Mr. Kendall, totally. If you don't forgive them, you will stay in chains. So let's be like our Lord, who forgave. Let us not be kept in chains. And just as we finish, remember this. However awful things get, God can turn things for good. The cross, which was the worst thing in all history, became one of the most blessed things. This is the power and love of God. Let's pray. I'm just going to have a moment of quiet. If there's somebody in your life that you cannot forgive, just bring that to the Lord now and say, Father, will you forgive them? And will you pray, Father, help me. I can't do it. Help me forgive them. Just bring that person before the Lord now. Lord, thank you for the cross, that you chose your Father's will. Thank you that you forgave even those, Lord, who murdered you on the cross, and you forgave all of us. Help us, Lord, to forgive those who've hurt us. And we thank you, Lord, for your forgiveness that we have received through the cross of Christ. Amen.